Mike's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
It's funny to me, I did just have a thought that now that my cousin's son has a YouTube channel, he's 8. Hmm. Like, is that him? But no, that guy's probably 30 at this point, whoever that kid is.
Has been around a while. Yeah, that's right.
My cousin's son has a YouTube channel. I tweeted about it a couple of days ago, Camden Cleans. Bulldog, he goes around like neighborhoods and picks up garbage.
All right.
I mean, good for him. What a cool idea. And so you can like follow him and see him do it. He was just in the Falls last Saturday, Camden Cleans, just sort of picking up trash off the street.
I appreciate the motivation.
That wasn't him.
To do something like that, because I'm one who I live on it's a busy corner. There is regularly just junk, either at the curb right or like it comes up on the and I don't know, 4 times a week I'll get home from work, park my truck, and like pick up a piece of a little triangle cardboard pizza carrier.
Not Q-tips.
No Q-tips. Those I pick up off my bathroom floor. They must be very, I don't use them, but whoever in my home uses them has a very hard time. Maybe they don't fly straight. I don't know. Q-tips, they're just always on the floor, like behind the toilet. So
who looks there?
That's a different thing. And your cousin, did you say? What?
My cousin's son, they live in New Hampshire, he picks up trash.
I wouldn't expect him to clean up behind my toilet. That's in the house, and that would be weird if he had access.
Yeah, that would be ironic if he didn't pick up for himself. Like if maybe his mom was frustrated, he just picks up other people's garbage.
Right, and he just all his stuff is a mess. Right,
the bathroom's a disaster, but he's picking up napkins off the sidewalk. Okay, well, here we are. Game day on Sunday. I saw a tweet, and I just have a minute ago looked this up. What is DJ Moore's over-under receiving yards number likely to be for this game? Got a guess?
54.5.
48.5.
Okay.
You're not far off.
No, I feel like I'm reasonably in the ballpark.
You want to hammer that? I mean, yesterday,
because I thought it would be
no, not even that. Nah. I mean, you didn't guess. No. You were trying to guess the real number, which I appreciate because that was the question. Yesterday, we talked to Sal about this because you were making the point that the Patriots didn't do well enough getting A.J. Brown involved in their game with Seattle, and okay. And so, will the Bills do likewise, or do you think we actually also have talked about what Joe Brady's first play will be as head coach, and I kind of like that still. But
hook and ladder. It worked there last year.
What you do, that's right. What you do if you have this thought at all is you throw him a screen immediately. Like that's how you do it. You don't try to get him on like a in route 15 yards down the field or something like
basically
that.
Basically the Shakir play from the last couple of seasons is what we're talking. Like a tunnel screen, just like get it in his hands.
Get him hit once.
Make them respect him right away, which is, that is the point I was making about A.J. Brown and the Patriots. I mean, I thought that they went a couple of series, and I thought it was a little, I just would have liked to see them do it earlier, and I feel the same about Moore. Here's the new guy. This is one of the should be, hopefully, one of the most impactful additions to your team. And not only that, this is a team that absolutely just smashed you in the face repeatedly last season when you did not have him on your team or any receiver maybe even reasonably comparable to him. You also didn't have Dalton Kincaid in that game. But more to me, yeah, like let's let them know right away, like this is how it's going to be. And as much as we got fatigued by those tunnel screens, you know, even though they were largely pretty effective, when they don't work, they feel like, why didn't you do something better? But they made plenty of good plays off of those plays. It gets the ball out of the hand of Josh Allen quickly. And that, I think, until we get into the game, I'm not saying the Bills should operate this way all game long, like go in so scared to let Josh Allen hold the ball on a five-step or even a seven-step drop or something. But quick should be the thing you want to accomplish, I think. Like, you know, I'm thinking of a game, I don't know, maybe one of Rex's first games as the Bills coach, and the Giants and Eli Manning rolled in here, and Rex saw, you know, this defense, we got edge guys, oh, we're going to just get after it, right? Jim Schwartz's defense wasn't, that was number two, we're going to be number one. Remember all the bravado about that? And I'm not sure if this exactly lines up with his first year or whatever. I just remember a Giants game at you know, the Ralph, where Eli Manning, his average time of like getting rid of the ball was like close to 2 seconds. Like, he just never held the ball all day long. It's like Jerry Hughes and whomever could win all you want, but they're not going to get there. So I think a dose of that is probably, I'm getting way into, do we have a sponsored thing in the 5 o'clock hour for the game plan or something? Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
I don't know.
Maybe. But I think, this opponent should call for a good amount of that. Because you got to do something to at least get into the game and not have Allen right away feeling like, oh, here we go again. And I think a good way to do that is just what I said, just quick. You know, doesn't have to be tunnel screens necessarily. You know, slants can be that. Three steps, boom, the ball's out. That's functional. So I'm expecting almost to see a good dose of that on Sunday from the Bills.
Well, we usually talk to Sam Paniatovich 3:30 Eastern on Fridays. That's changing. He's got another commitment, like his job, namely, and we're moving up an hour. So today we're doing that at 5:30.
Yes, that's what we set up.
And then it looks like that's going to be at 2:30 in future weeks. But I like on Friday, especially now that the season is here, sort of getting into that space with Sam, you know, on deck and talking about the props. I don't know that we have to do that. We never have to do that. But I do think this is interesting about the Bills and this game is that Josh Allen's passing yards prop. So I've got the app I use up. Doesn't exactly give you the perfect number, but I'm going to say from reading it the way it looks here, is going to be around 228.5 is Allen's number. Somewhere around there is the number. Who catches the ball? I mean, if it's everybody eats, like it's been, with the same play caller and the same players, plus DJ Moore, and DJ Moore isn't getting much love here, because I told you his was like 48 yards, then it's hard to bet on any of it. Like, who is the guy? This game.
Yeah, I think what most Bills fans might be inclined to do, and I don't know, you can feel free to call and correct me out there, Bills fans at 803-0550, if I am wrong. I'll bet a lot of Bills fans would hammer overs on DJ Moore's stuff because they might think, and this is a reasonable enough bet, we're talking about props and betting, I think it's a reasonable enough bet to think everybody eats is dead. They have more now. And yeah, we need to see it first, but that's the beauty. It's the first game, so we don't really know. You know, maybe they'll do like the Patriots did and not target him until the third series of the game or something. But I feel like the biggest difference, Kincaid should matter to this too, like I already referenced, but the biggest thing you've got going for you, everything else is pretty much a new left guard. Everything else is the same. I've got DJ Moore on my team, and my passing offense has barely been able to function. Allen threw for a reasonable amount of yards in last year's game. It was the year before's game where he was 9-for-30, and it was just really gross. But still, it was not a good day by any stretch, whatever the final numbers ended up being. I think he was in like the 230, maybe right around the number you just said for the over-under for him, I think, if my recollection is correct.
So 253.
Game. Okay. All right. A little more then.
But that hook and ladder play is 45
of it. Yeah, right.
So it's probably 200 or less going into that last drive.
So
still,
you know, I feel like you a fan, maybe even not even a Bills fan, like somebody that's just poring over props for the weekend. I think, well, DJ Moore's new there. They never had him before. They haven't had a number one receiver in a couple of years. I'm going to bet that they want to make a statement with
him. Well, this is exactly, you're not saying different yet. This is exactly why I would never do it.
Right. It's the room.
It's the room. Yeah. I don't want to bet with the fans. Like if fans are just going to tell you at every turn how good he is, you know, I need to see it first too. Because there are plenty of people who are not fans that don't think
mm-hmm.
so. Mm-hmm. So, it's logical.
Yeah, it's a bet worth making. I mean, I'm not going to tell you like, "Oh, it absolutely will happen" or anything, but
five,
you know,
catches.
I'm looking at that and go, you know, I think I like his chances.
Five catches, not 10, five on DraftKings pays plus 164. If he's an integral part of the game plan and they're functioning, then you get there.
For sure.
If either of those things is not the case, you do not.
Right.
I mean, I think he should be important to what they want to do. He's a player they didn't have last year and didn't have in their loss to Houston. So, you know, it's a pretty big investment. And it's a pretty big statement to make in week one if you can get 7-for-100. You could even get, what was Evans last night? Something like that. I mean, that's really, Evans looks really much like a possession receiver at this point. Mm-hmm. But, man, you throw it to him, he catches it. And
that's right.
Like, that was effective. He scored a touchdown. I mean, that's a 20-point fantasy night, isn't it? Maybe.
Yep.
Like, if you get something like that from your new receiver, everybody's happy.
Right.
Like, okay, well,
and
maybe this will work.
I think Joe Brady, whether it has been said directly or he just feels it or he's just trying to do what he thinks is going to be best for his team in this game, like, any one of those three avenues – could funnel you toward, they're going to feed more. It's the big investment from the GM. The GM made a spectacle out of himself the year before talking about, you know, I don't need a guy. We got Josh Palmer and what, you know, all the stuff. I don't need to rehash it all. But I think if an organization or a new head coach, first time head coach who is the play caller, has ever felt subtle, subconscious even pressure to demonstrate that he can make something work and look smart doing it, get everyone sort of behind him and them, that's the thing to do. We know James Cook led the league in rushing last year. We know Josh Allen is a freak show of an athlete and can hurt you with his legs and his arm. What we don't know is whether we've got a guy that can help you solve Houston. And everybody over there wins if he goes for 7-110 and a score or something.
Yeah. Evans was 6-for-49-1, so not even 20 points, but 17, basically.
Close enough.
You know, some games, the Bills have been so good that most of their games, if you look at it right, you know, before kickoff, and you imagine the possible outcomes, if you thought, like, you know, if they lose this game, what is it? You know, it's usually a bad loss. Like, if they lose to the Jets, obviously, for example, like, that's a bad loss. And then this is, again, a higher bar to clear because of who they are, but then you have, like, good wins. I think this is that. I mean, even though they're favored in Houston, and they kind of outrank Houston over the, not by a mile, but over the last few years for, like, what they've been, what they've accomplished. Houston's, like, right there, but it's a tier lower.
I agree with that.
It's still, like, considering the last 2 years that you brought up, I mean, that's a pretty good win if they get it.
It is definitely not a, all right, on to next week sort of win, I don't think. It's a really hard game, I think. And so, you know, that to me is almost irrefutably true. And with that said, I mean, I guess depending on how it looks, right? I mean, if they're just inept and can't, you know, if it looks like last year or even more so the game 2 years ago, I could see getting to, well, you know, it's a good opponent, the defense is elite, and they just seem to be Josh Allen's kryptonite. But if you can't function as a Super Bowl favorite, maybe sort of like the Rams last night, you're going to go, like, you know, yeah, that's a tough opponent, but it's still a bad performance, if not a bad loss. Like, if you just can't run your stuff, which is kind of how it was. I mean, the biggest play of that game last year, just reference it, was a hook and ladder play. Cook broke one, too. And there was a kick return, too, and it was, right, mm-hmm. last year at Davis. So,
It was fourth and 27.
But it does it right. And it does not feel to me like this is a game going in you have to be afraid of it being perceived as a bad loss. It's a very respectable, I agree 100%. Houston does not get the run nationally that the Bills do, but they're not far off of that tier. It's, you know, this year maybe we'll sort that out. Or maybe we won't. It'll still be all jumbled. I don't know. But we've been saying a lot to different guests that are on how much deeper the pool of contenders has gotten in the AFC, and that absolutely includes Houston. I don't know if last year at this time I would have said it did, but they belong there now, at least with everybody else.
Last year they were, though, a two-time defending division mm-hmm. champion, so they were something. And I think maybe they even won playoff games both of those years.
They have won, yes. They've won
3 years
Ryan's
in a row.
Ryan's has won a playoff game each of his 3 years there, yes.
And the Bills are at, like, historic stuff without going all the way at 6 years in a row. How about the Rams? Are we just going to say they should have left earlier?
I don't know.
Your boyfriend had a terrible night.
Yep.
My guy didn't catch a pass. I'm over here praying for a Terrence Ferguson touchdown. One catch would have been good.
Yeah.
Considering what he had one target and he wasn't open at all and the pass was 5 yards off.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those where Adams, Nakua, like the ball's just nowhere near.
Yeah.
With Stafford. So I don't know.
And Miles Garrett
couldn't play.
Echoes of Mario Williams' Bills debut to me.
Oh, the Jet game.
Like that Jet game. Well, you know, I don't think Garrett, I think that he didn't complain about the guy cheating like Mario did after some no-name left tackle just, you know, owned him. Like, oh, well, you know, he punched me in the balls or something. What? Dude, you're playing football. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear this. That's not a direct quote, but, you know, basically.
It's not?
No, I don't think he said that plainly, but it was pretty much that. Like, he was mean. Like, okay. But Garrett did say after the game that he's not 100%, which is, you know, that's off to a great start. You push everything in to go get this guy, and one bad performance, like, yeah, you know, my knee. And that's how it's wrong, but it just, it really, the error came out of the Rams. I mean, long flight home, holy cow.
Yeah, are they even home yet? They left right away? What time? Let's see. I don't need to know. They maybe both should be home by now, but
whatever.
I don't know.
It was a long way to go for that.
How did you do with that game? Like, were you glued to it? Were you sort of in and out? I mean, it's good teams.
I think I know the answer to this. I know it for me. I am more inclined to stay with something if it looks incredible on my giant TV, and that. Whatever you want to say about Netflix getting into the game, and it's another streamer you got to pay for if you want all the NFL content and yada, 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 yada. It looked incredible on my TV.
Just
the colors, it was so vibrant. It dawned on me that we're watching a game, and it's, you know, even when you watch a West Coast, like Seattle the night before, like, it's light out when the game begins, but by halftime, it's also sunset there, and it's nighttime. And
that bothered me.
In this game, it was getting brighter as the day went on because, you know, the sun is getting whatever.
That bothered me.
It was a little jarring, but it just looked amazing. I just thought that it's so crisp. The colors were really vibrant. You know, I just liked the way the game looked.
There's nothing to do at this point, but it was sort of distracting me that it was daytime.
Especially when I went, halftime, I went upstairs and had it on my iPad. and you know, on my nightstand, and I lay out, lie on my side, and I'm watching the game, and it was so bright. I'm like,
weird.
This is weird. Yeah. Right.
It might not even occur to you.
It didn't until I was in bed. So I'm like, by the time I go upstairs to watch any football game in the evening in bed, it's dark. Like the light at the at the venue, and that was jarring to me. Like, what am I? What is
looks like
on?
A great city.
Sure. Yes.
I don't know.
Sure does.
The Rams were a total no-show.
That's right.
Well, too bad for them.
Yep.
Today, so this is our Friday. Now, Sal is coming up next. That won't be every week. And, you know, we're starting at 2 on Monday, so everything's going to be a little bit different. But Sal, best for him, was 3:30, so we were happy to accommodate him because Sam is going to be at 5:30
today. Right.
Today. We welcome Aaron Williams to the team. We'll talk to former Bill safety Aaron Williams on Fridays beginning today at 4. I've had one conversation with him in my life, and that was at a roast. And it was nice. And he always seemed like somebody
yep.
with something to say and, you know, like a good personality. So I have no idea like whose idea this was or just how it came. We just found out days ago that yep. you guys have Aaron Williams. And I haven't thought about Aaron Williams in a decade, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I sat with him at a training camp that maybe you weren't there for.
Okay.
I've had more than one.
That doesn't sound like me.
Just how it shook out. Maybe I was there by myself, but whatever. I remember sitting there. I remember him and Marquise Brown, both Texas guys. Similar.
Marquise Goodwin.
Goodwin, thank you. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, sorry. Yes, Marquise Goodwin.
I remember that.
Yeah. I remember him talking about.
I like Goodwin.
Yeah, when
we sat with him.
Anyway, Williams.
I don't remember Williams.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I think I have that memory. I'm not always great at this, but I'm pretty sure that happened, and maybe you just weren't there. You had a day off.
Maybe I was there, but.
But anyway, yeah, so that's happening, and then what do we got after that? 4:30,
Ian Harditz.
Your guys, the RotoWire guys.
RotoWire will be every Friday, and we have Ian today. What do we do about, like, these two games? I mean, there's injuries, of course. Things are a little bit in flux, naturally, because, you know, the season has started. And then again, Sammy P at 5:30, and then picks down the road later.
Somewhere.
At some point.
Somewhere picks will.
We can't not have picks.
Find a home. Picks will find a home.
Picks always finds a home. It always gets above the surface. It always happens. You can't ever. You have to assume picks are going to happen. That's big.
It felt good to start a new note in my iPad with the 2026 picks. I will every week.
The standings. Did we pick last night? I don't think so.
We never did.
Never did. Sal Capaccio after a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lots going on today. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.